Revelation chapter 21, I look in verse 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Well, thank God for that. Ain't you glad that the Bible said that our sins was cast in the sea of God's forgetfulness there? And I'm glad of that. And I, John, saw, or at least we say that, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you again and that for saving us. And Lord, we thank you for the promise and that of salvation, that whosoever will, that would come to you, you would save them. And Lord, we thank you for that. But God, we ask this morning now, while we preach for a little while, I pray you'd give us good liberty in that to preach. Lord, I really believe this would be the message that you've given us to preach for the hour. And God, we just want to preach it the way that you'd have us to, that if there's somebody here lost and undone without you, that they'd get saved this morning. Lord, that they'd see you there at Calvary dying for their sins so that they might get saved. Lord, we pray for the one that might need some help, might need some encouragement. I pray they'd find it in you this morning. Help us now while we preach. We'll stand in your power. I pray that you'd just help us now. Save that sinner nearest to hell for these things in Jesus' name. I would ask and pray. Amen. And amen. You can be seated this morning. In Revelation chapter 21, this is a time when the rapture of the church has done, took place, the catching away of the church, the 7 years of the great tribulation period has done passed by this time. And God is restoring in that the nation of Israel. There has been the defeat and the destruction of the devil. And the Bible said right here in verse 1 that he has made all things new. There, a new heaven and a new earth. If we look in verse 5, he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. But here in this verse, verse 4, it talks about, I really believe, the children of God and that being with God himself. And I'm glad that there's a place that we're going to go to one day after a while called heaven. I'm glad for heaven. I'm glad that this ain't it. I'm glad that it don't end here. I'm glad that life is not just, listen, this is just the start of it all. And thank God heaven will be the ending of it all. Thank God for that. I want to preach this morning about what it said there in verse 4 when it talks about that there would be some things that wouldn't be in heaven. Now, I told you I'd probably preach on this this past Wednesday night. But let me say that before we talk about or preach about what ain't in heaven, let's talk about what is there. Can I say that first of all, I'm glad Jesus is in heaven. I'm glad that one day after a while, friend, if you read in that the first part of the book of Revelation, that we're going to come and that before him, and we're going to help and that anoint him and crown him king for who he is. Amen. Hey, I'm glad that today that he is in heaven. And I'm glad that those that have died and went on before us, I believe that they're in heaven. 2 Corinthians 5 and 8 says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And I'm glad that those that have done died and went on is there in heaven. I thank God for that. Listen, I'm glad that not only is it a place where the saints go that when they die, but they get a body one day after a while. Now, I don't believe that the saints in heaven has got their new body, but I believe they got a body. Amen. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God house, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So now we've got some things in heaven. And let me say this, that if you've served God all your life and got saved and served God, hey, you ought to have a bank account in heaven. Amen. The Bible talks about how that we lay up and that on the other side and not here. Amen. Ain't that right? Let's do this. Amen. Help the preacher out. Listen, it'll be a whole lot better if you'll help me out. Amen. I might preach faster and you can go home. But listen, but let me say this. As we talk about heaven, I always feel duty bound not to talk about hell. Because hell is a real place. And that's where you're going if you ain't saved today. The Bible talks about where the fire's not quenched and the worm dieth not. Listen, hell is made for the devil and his angels. But those that reject the Lord Jesus Christ and the precious blood of him, listen, that's where you'll spend and that eternity and that separated from God to burn forever and ever. According to Luke 16, the rich man said, "Oh, fire, let Lazarus come and dip the tip of his finger in water that he may cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in his flame." Hey, I believe that hell is a place that's real, and hell is a place that's full of fire where torment is, and those cannot escape that's there today. And so I encourage you to get saved from that place. Amen. Hell's real, and you need to be saved from it today. But I want to look for just a few minutes or two of what will not be in heaven. There are some things that we have here that will not be in heaven. Can I say number one, first of all, can I say there'll be no need of the undertaker in heaven. Well, I get excited when I think about that. If y'all's ever preached as many funerals as I have over these years, and I'm just 42 years old, and I've preached plenty of my funerals over the years, and I just be honest with you, I get tired of preaching funerals, but you know, it's going to be that way until Jesus comes, amen. But I'm glad that in heaven we'll never find another undertaker or the need of the undertaker, the need of the funeral home there in heaven. I want you to look what the Bible said in verse 4. I want you to look, said, "God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death." Ain't you glad that we're going to a place, friend, where we'll never die no more? I'm glad we'll never stand in another receiving line. We'll never go out and stand under the undertaker's tent and at the graveyard. We'll never have to pat him on the hand, laying in the coffin, and say goodbye. Listen, hey, I'm glad there's going to come a time, friend, where we'll never part again, where we'll never say goodbye again, but we'll say hello in the morning, and we'll start life anew and be there forever. Thank God for that. Hey, I'm glad there's no need of the undertaker in heaven. That excites me. I'm going to a place where I'm dying no more. Thank God for that. Hey, listen, I planted some in the ground that's been dear to me over the years. It's been dear to me. Listen, and the older I get, you know something that happens to us the older we get. We start putting them ones that we love that's more dear to us and more dear to us and more dear to us. We start putting them in the ground, don't we? And we start having to go down to the funeral home and make a run. Hey, I'm glad that I'll never have to go down to the funeral home and make arrangements again when I get in glory. That day's over with. That's a sad day to have to go down to the funeral home, walk in there And that funeral director, he's doing the best that he knows how. And he's doing, hey, listen, he's doing the best that he knows how. But there's really no comfort outside the Lord Jesus Christ when you've got to go down there and make him arrangements. And y'all know what I'm talking about. Some of you buried your mama. Some of you buried your daddy. Listen, your spouse. You just some of your kids. You know what I'm talking about. You understand. Listen, that day will be no more when we get over there. Boy, I'm glad there'll be no need for the undertaker. I just sat in my study and cried. And just, boy, I tell you, just thought about how wonderful that day is going to be. Boy, where we'll never part again. Never part again. Never say goodbye again. Hey, listen, we'll never have to sing another sad song. Boy, we'll never say, and listen, sometimes they're not sad, but I mean, hey, it makes us sad sometimes. We sing that old song, occasionally, at least I do, if I could hear my mother pray again. See, preacher, folk just sing that just to get folks sad and make them cry. Well, I'll tell you what, if your mama's done gone on with the Lord, you might want to sing that song. Amen. I mean, it's like that old song, Precious. Precious memories. I remember when I was in my 20s, I'd tell my wife, I'd say, "I don't know why we sing that song. I don't know why why we would want to sing precious memories." And Boy, my wife was wise even back in her early 20s. She said, you wait till you get older and you'll want to sing that song. Amen. I thought, my soul, I hadn't even thought of that, you know. But what we sing, precious memories. How they linger. But you know what? When we get over to glory, we'll not sing them songs no more. Them songs will be a thing of the past. You see, we won't have to sing, if I could hear my mother pray again, or precious memories, or sing how beautiful heaven I must be. Hey, that'll all be done and over with and be gone. I love that old song, if I could hear my mother pray again. I've still got mama with me. But listen, I know something that means don't. And I know that means something to you. But you know what? When we get over there, it just won't matter anymore. Just won't matter. They sang an old song sometimes, if I could just go back to that little old shack where in childhood I used to play. And talks about their dear old mom and dad, how that they would pray. I mean, listen, all those memories are just going to be faded away. Boy, I'm glad I'm going there. Man, I'm glad of that. But there'll be no undertaker there that will ever have to stand. Boy, I'd hate to bury somebody today, wouldn't you? I mean, I buried them in the rain, buried them in the snow, buried them when it's 30 degrees and the wind was blowing on top of a hill and all the way to 100 degrees. Buried them all. But you know what? There comes a day when we don't do that. Never ever have to pat their hand and kiss them on the cheek and tell them goodbye. Never have to watch anybody in that die in the hospital. Again, I've sat by too many bedsides and watched it happen. Watched them go on to be with the Lord. At least I know they're going to be with the Lord. But I'm glad. I'm glad that day is coming. They'll never be like that again. Amen. But there'll be no need for the undertaker. And then number two, there'll be no need for the doctor. Whew. Man, tickled to death. We won't have to fight that insurance battle, will we? Amen. Thank God for that. Do you know why there'll be no need for the doctor? Because there'll be no sickness over there. Boy, you talk about no need for the undertaker. There'll be no need for the doctor because we ain't going to be sick. Boy, as I talked a few minutes ago, we're going to be in a body at this time that's likened and that to the Son of God, one that is perfect and all just right. The Bible said in 1 John chapter 3, beloved, now, thank God, not later, but now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Philippians said, for our conversation is in heaven, from which also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is even able to subdue all things to himself. We're going to have a body that'll never get sick again. That may not mean a whole lot to you if you ain't never been sick. But you know what? If you've been sick, and if you're sick now, some people, you know what? You ought to go over to the nursing home with me sometimes and wait for the Lord to get me to talk about that new body. And you look at them out there, and you got folks sitting out there that's dealing with cancer. They some is just barely getting by. I mean, they're just barely getting by. They can barely hold their head up when they come up there to service, but they want to come anyway. And there's some sitting in there dealing with cancer. There's some that's dealing with strokes. I mean, spit's running down the side of their face. They can't contain it. Listen, it's just because that old body has developed. Listen, there's some sitting in there blind. There's some sitting in there deaf. And you know what? There's coming a day when all that's going to be done away with. Be no need for a doctor. Be no need for a nursing home. And be no need for a hospital. Won't that be something? Listen, I'm glad that day's coming. I'm glad. Boy, some things that won't be in heaven. There won't be no need for the undertaker. And there won't be no need for the doctor. Boy, I tell you, be no more heart attacks. Ain't that something? No more heart attacks, no strokes. You know, one of the worst things that this preacher fears is a stroke. I'll just be honest with you. You watch people happen, and that's just something that I fear. Sometimes our fears are irrational, but sometimes they're rational. What are you talking about, preacher? You know, sometimes if our health ain't the best in the world, and sometimes we don't help our health either by what we eat and the lack of exercise. Say, you're meddling, preacher. Yeah, just a little bit. I said, right. You know, a lot of us would last a lot longer if we'd take care of ourselves. Amen. I'm just saying. I guess some of us want to speed it up and get over to glory quicker. Amen. But there'll be no need for the doctor. Well, then can I say number three, there'll be no devil there. If you go back and you look in Revelations 20, look in verse 10 of Revelations 20. The Bible said, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. You realize the devil is your adversary. I mean, he's the one fighting against you. He's the one that causes you. I know you've got your flesh, but see, listen, we're going to get a new body when we get there. One that's sinless, one that's perfect, one like unto the Son of God. But we're not going to have an adversary and that to be against us. That's why the Bible tells us now to be sober, to be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. I'm tired of him. I'm tired of fighting with him. I'm tired of dealing with him. I'm tired of him showing up in my mind. I'm just tired of him. And I'm glad, friend, that there's coming a day I'll never have to fool with sleuth foot again. I'm tired of him. He's my problem. Yeah, my flesh is my problem, but he's my problem also. Simon, Simon, Luke 22. I try to always remember this verse. Simon, Simon, Satan had a desire to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. It's what he wants to do. He wants to take you apart if he can. He wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy me. He wants to destroy this church. Listen, he wants to do everything that he can. Listen, when we get to glory, I'm glad that the battle is going to be over with. I'm trying to fight the battle. Sometimes I think I'm doing a pitiful job at it. I'm doing a poor job at it, but I'm trying to fight the battle. But I'm glad when we get there, there'll be no enemy. There'll be no devil. There'll be no Satan. There'll be no more battle in that to fight anymore. If you ain't fighting a battle, that don't mean nothing to you. I'm a fighting. And I get tired of it. If you had to get up every day and have him whittle in your mind and work on your mind and be there to deal with you, you'd get tired of him too. And some of you do. Hey, I'm going to tell you, the closer you try to draw to the Lord, the more he's going to be there to stop you. But I'm glad there's coming a day when there'll be no more devil. Ain't that a good day right there? He's your problem, friend. You better understand that. He's your problem. He's the one that tempts you and instigates you to sin. He's the one that wants you to quit. He's the one that fights against us so that we must wear the whole armor of God and fight and battle against him. Hey, but there's coming a day when he's going to get what's his and he's going to get hellfire. Amen. The Bible said the devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. Now not were, but are. It's been some thousand years since that happened. And shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. I'm glad he's going to get what's coming to his. There'll be no devil in heaven. Number four, there'll be no need of the preacher in heaven. My job is try to get folks saved. I mean, that's part of my job, is to get folks saved. Do you realize that? I mean, listen, the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he said, "For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified, the death, the burial, and the resurrection." Now listen, I really do. I really hope that the Lord will let us do a little bit of street preaching when we get up there. Maybe at the section of Hallelujah Street and Glory Avenue, we can do a little street preaching up there. But listen, there'll be no need for the preacher. My job will have been completed by the time I get to glory. My job now is to preach the gospel and try to get sinners saved and see those that is wrapped up in Satan and being deceived by Satan and that the gospel is being hid from them, according to the book of 2 Corinthians 4. I try to get them saved. That's my job now. According to Isaiah chapter 58, I'm to cry aloud and spare not and lift up my voice like a trumpet and show my people their sins, the Lord did. And Jacob, their transgression. Not only am I to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, but I'm to preach and then against sin and tell folk how to get right with God. You know, when we get to glory, there'll be no more sin. Ain't that a wonderful thought? There'll be no sin. And that when we get to glory, I'm to preach against sin. I'm to preach the gospel. I'm to train in doctrine. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and the things that thou hast heard among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. But you know, when we get there, none of that will be needed. For you'll know. My job is to comfort those who need comfort. You know, the Apostle Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, and said, Timotheus, our brethren, minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. They just, some days you need comfort. My job as your pastor is not to beat up on you, not to rail on you, but some days it's just to comfort you. Just to comfort you through the scriptures. You know, that's why the Bible said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, to comfort the feeble-minded. Sometimes I feel like I'm feeble-minded, amen. And I need some comfort. Listen, I not only believe that scripture and that refers to folk that are having mind problems, but I believe that we do get weak-minded. We do get in the battle. And we do become feeble-minded sometimes. And we need some strength, not only in our heart, but we need it in our mind. What do you think? That he tells us how to put on the helmet of salvation. Amen. Get your mind straight in salvation. Get your mind settled on some things. But you know what? I believe when we get to glory, there'll be no need for the preacher. My job will be done. Now, I hope he lets me glorify, and I hope he lets me testify, and I hope that he does let me preach a little while over there and carry on. But you know what? There'll be no need for the preacher. The preacher's needed now, not later. Can I tell you, though, Revelation chapter 22, number 5, tells us this, that there'll be no night there. The sun's going to shine forever. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 5, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. You know, night time, and that is a bad time. Now, you mamas know what I'm talking about. A lot of times when your youngins are sick, they'll start running that fever at night time. They'll do good through the day, but boy, soon as the sun starts to set, things begin to turn off bad. Well, the Bible tells us in more than one place, it talks about how that it's bad during the night. It said that weeping may endure, but listen, but joy cometh in the morning. When the sun breaks and it shines, and boy, I'm telling you, it peaks across the clouds and comes up out of the eastern sky. Boy, don't you just love to see day coming? But do you realize that there'll be no night in heaven? You can't get around the light and have any darkness. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ is a light. David talks about in Psalm 17 and verse 3, for thou hast visited me in the nighttime. Hey, at night times when the sun won't shine, when it refuses to shine, when it's just bad. Never be another bad day. You realize that? Never be a bad day to where you're just tired. Never be a bad day to where you doubt. Never be a bad day to where you worry. All that stuff's gone. Nighttime, you realize that all the problems will be fixed over there. There'll never be another nighttime. I love that. I hate nighttime. I really do, especially nighttime in our life when it comes. When it comes. Been all night there. I like it too. It talks about over there at one point how the city will be open all through the day because there'll be no night there. If you go to verse 25 of Revelation 21, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. Don't you want to go there? I ain't getting a bus load up today. Well, I'm trying to get a bus load up. Don't misunderstand me. I like living. But I'm glad for the promise of the child of God. There is a place. There is a place. Boy, I'm going to die and go there. I'm going to die and go there. I don't have to go to hell. Thank God for that. He bought and paid for me. But number six. If you've not listened to nothing else I've said, I want you to hear me now. What am I preaching on? Some things that won't be in heaven. And number six is this. You won't be there if you ain't saved. You've got to be saved to get to heaven. Jesus said in John 14 and 6 that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Don't you want to go to a place to where there'll be no more tears, where there'll be no more death, there'll be no more sorrow nor crying, there'll be no more pain, for the former things are passed away. But do you understand that hell is just the opposite of that? Hell is a place of eternal death. Hell is a place where weeping and crying and that continues. Hell is a place and that where sorrow, where death and that remains, where the former things and that you're reminded of night in and night out. Hey, there's no day and that in hell. It is a place of eternal darkness, a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth, a place, friend, where you'll never and ever be separated from that place. To get away from it. Be there forever. But to get out of there, you got to be saved. Revelation chapter 21 said, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, talking about heaven. Neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. You know what the Lord Jesus told his disciples over there? He said, for I say in you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. You cannot get in on your own. You've got to be blood washed and blood bought. You must be born again and that to get into heaven. But you won't be there without it. You won't be there. Hey, heaven, friend, I'm telling you, heaven can be just a heartbeat away. Hell can be just a heartbeat away, just like that, and you can drop off into eternity. You need to be saved. The Bible said that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. I'd hate to miss heaven for this world. I'd hate to know that heaven wouldn't have me. I'd hate to know that those that have done went on before me, I wouldn't be there to be with them. I would hate to think that Christ Jesus the Lord died for me and yet I turned it away and didn't get to go. You'll not go to that place of no more death. You'll not go to that place of no more doctors. You'll not go to that place of a friend of no more devil if you don't get saved. That's what it takes. Salvation. Jesus came and died for you, was buried for you, and rose again for you. And if you'll believe that, he'll save you if you'll ask him today. Let's bow our heads across the house, church, if we would. Some things that won't be in heaven. Are you going to be there? Let's get some verse, men. Are you going to be there? How about it? Is heaven your home? Is heaven waiting on you? Are you waiting on heaven? Or is heaven, now let's be very quiet, okay? Listen,
Is hell going to be your home? Where are you going to go when you die? Jesus paid for you so that you could be saved. Such a wonderful thought, heaven. And I've not done it justice this morning. I just rode across the top of it and barely skimmed it. But it's a place to where the undertaker will be no more. It's a place where we'll never be sick and see another hospital. Visit with another doctor. Don't you want to go there? Don't you want to go there? Because that's the place where Jesus, and that is, He's the one that died for you and made the way. He is the door, the Bible said in John 10, and whosoever will come into Him, come through Him, listen, can find pasture and go in and out, the Bible said. I want you to be saved this morning and know that you're going to go to heaven. Do you know that? Do you know heaven is your home? If not, you can come this morning and get that assurance. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll help right now. During this invitation, I pray that you've already been speaking to hearts. And Lord, it just stirs my soul to think about heaven. And think about the things that will be there and those that will be there and what you've got in store for us there. But Lord, the things that won't be there. And Lord, I've tried to be just as brief and as quick this morning. And Lord, I hope that the Holy Spirit is working upon folks' hearts. And I pray that they'll move. I pray that they'll move and come this morning. Lord, we want to tell you that we love you and thank you for heaven. Thank you for that place that you've made for us. Help me in this invitation for these things in Jesus' name.